How I would like to start the call is if you've been on these calls with me before, Sarah has been on at least one before, perhaps Jody has been on a group call with me before, is I like to start with some kind of just awareness practice to get us grounded and into the space. So I thought because we're doing breath practice in the online courses, it's fresh in my mind that that's what we do. So if you all can get in, so two things. One, for the breath practice in particular, or whatever practice we start the calls with, you want to mute yourself. So it's *6, or if you have a mute button on your phone, go ahead and do that now just to eliminate any kind of accidental noise or background noise. And that's actually kind of a good protocol on these calls in general to keep yourself muted until it's appropriate, you know, until we're like we're having conversation or Q&A. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Harjeet.
Hi, Harjeet. We're just getting started. So go ahead and just mute yourself. We're going to do a little grounding awareness practice real quick. So, yeah, so get comfortable wherever you are. And I don't know if any of you are driving. Doesn't really sound like it, but often when I get on group calls like this, when I'm a participant, I'm often in my car or sometimes even making food for myself. If you can just pause for a moment, and if you can safely close your eyes, that would be helpful, but not if it's a detriment to your health or the health of others. And just, take a few breaths. Take it in through your nose and out through your mouth. And maybe you feel like sighing a little bit. Maybe you want to stretch the spine forward. Or take a big inhale and arch the spine up and back. Maybe you want to squeeze the shoulders up into your ears. And then when you exhale, just find a place of ease and softness. And then just check in with your breath. Notice, find a point in your body that you can really connect to the sensation of breath. And sometimes that's like at the tip of the nose, where you can feel the breath coming in and out. Or sometimes it's crossing the lips. Sometimes it's in the chest or shoulders. Sometimes in the back. So just find a place in the body where you can easily locate the breath. And then it just sounds like somebody's maybe not on mute, so everybody double check. So inhaling through your nose, exhaling out through your mouth, and gently parted lips and soft jaw. And we're just going to do a very simple breath practice, which can be done on its own or incorporated into other things or practices. It's a kind of one layer of what's called the three-part breath, or in yoga, the complete breath. Oh, it's such a lovely practice. You can do it really anywhere, anytime. So I want you to, as you inhale, bring the breath up from the bottom of the spine. And just at first, feel the breath filling you up, like water filling a vase. Notice how high the breath can reach. How much can you fill up to your chest, to your neck, all the way up through the crown of the head. And then as you exhale, just let the air out. So descending down, back down to the tailbone. And you can just go at your own pace. And if you notice if there's any...
Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. We're just...
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead and mute yourself. We're just doing a little breath practice to start with.
Okay. Okay, I forget how to do that. Let's see.
Star
oh,
six.
I see. Never mind. Okay.
And so just become aware of how your body feels. How do you feel touching the ground or the seat? Notice any sensations as they arise. Maybe you have a sensation of joy, excitement. Maybe you notice a fluttering in your tummy. Maybe you're noticing some stuckness. Maybe a sensation that's not as neutral or yummy. And no matter what it is, just see if you can acknowledge it and then let it go. Just notice it and then let your attention continue to the next moment. Notice what's arising. Let your breath be as full as it can be without tension. I'm just honoring that that looks like something very different right now than it might have looked like yesterday or even this morning. It's different than what it will look like tonight. Really honoring how you're showing up physically, mentally, emotionally. And then bring your attention back to the breath, and with your next inhale, I want you to focus on expanding the front of the body. So I'm going to deliberately give you very little instruction because I want you to just see what's there for yourself. What's it like to expand forward into the front of the body with the inhalation? And then just let the exhale out, not needing to do anything in particular with it. Notice the thoughts that arise, judgment of the sensation or experience. Notice how we like to label pleasant and unpleasant. Right? Always judging what's happening. Let's see if you can just notice when a pleasant or unpleasant or even neutral sensation arises, when you can name it and just let it go. And it doesn't have to have a story, although it might, and that's fine, and often does. But you know, you don't have to play the story. A couple more breaths into the front body. And then bring your attention into the sides of the body. Thinking about those two planes that expand endlessly, infinitely outward, right to left. And breathe into the side body now. Breathe outward into those planes. Bringing the breath up and over the hips, expanding outward, right to left, through the sides of the ribs, into the underarms. Expanding outward, even through the shoulders and the collarbones and the side of the neck and throat, and even as if you can breathe into the ears, outward from the temples, just feeling yourself expand. And just repeating this a few times. Again, being aware of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral sensations. Notice when a story or thought arises. Knowing that whatever experience you're having is exactly the experience you're supposed to be having. And take another breath into the side body. And then bring your attention to the back body. Breathing into the back of the hips, into the glutes and pelvis, low back, ribs, expanding backward away from the shoulder blades, between the shoulder blades, upward across the shoulders, into the back of the neck, into that beautifully tender spot at the base of the head, right at the occiput, into the back of the head, the back of the crown, all the way up. And even if you don't have the sensation all the way up, you can still track it in your mind, right? Just imagining the breath moving all the way upward and outward through the back. Expanding the ribs open and away from the spine, as if the ribs were little blinds that you could open. There's a little flame in the center of your rib cage. And as you open those back ribs, you get a glimpse of that flame. And then as you exhale the air out gently, the rib blinds close and you no longer see the flame. Inhaling and expanding, opening into the back body. Getting a glimpse, maybe a bigger glimpse or a longer glimpse of that flame. And then letting the breath descend. And then just in your own time, 4 or 5 cycles of breath, putting it all together. Maybe you can feel 3-dimensional expansion of the body. One of my favorite images is to think of the center of us not as being like the spine that sits in the posterior part of the body, but like having a liquid center. It's like, you know, when water spirals down a drain, so you have a liquid spiral center, and like almost like a pole, but it's fluid and it's spiraling, almost like 2 spirals, maybe like a helix. And when you inhale, you're moving away from that liquid center. Right, and that center goes all the way up through the crown of the head and out through the tail in both directions infinitely. And as you complete the breath, as you combine front, back, and sides, you're moving equally away from this fluid center. Radial expansion, radiating out like rays of the sun, or like a balloon being inflated, or tire. More accurately, a tire expanding in all directions. Or whatever image you can come up with that resonates with you. And take a final complete breath. And settle your attention back down into your seat or your feet where you feel grounded. And before we jump into discussion, I want you to do one more thing, which is such a nice tool anytime you're getting ready to go into teaching or conversation, especially a situation that feels maybe a little bit tenuous or challenging, is to really anchor yourself. So there's this beautiful visualization of a gold cord that runs from the center of you all the way down to the center of the earth. And it's pulsating energy. It's not static. It's not brittle. It's malleable and it's moving. It's alive, this cord. But the more you can connect to it, the more grounded you become, the more clear and articulate. The more sure you are, the more able you are to speak from your heart, to listen and speak honestly. Such a wonderful place to be working from, right, in all aspects of our life. So take a big breath into that. Okay. I think we're set. here's how I typically like to go in order of who came on the call, and I'll do my best to track that. But what I would always love to start these group discussions with is to just have everybody say a word or two about what they're bringing with them today. So how are you feeling? Just in general, you know, first thing that comes to mind, don't think too much about it. And if a word arises and you are resisting it, notice that and see if you can just anchor yourself into that first thing that came up, and maybe just be willing to be a little vulnerable and share that. Okay, so, Bibi, hi.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'm muted.
Yes, you're unmuted.
And I'm very stuffy in the brain.
Yes. And that's what you're bringing with you today? Okay, stuffy brain. All right, stuffy brain. Oh, thank you. Okay, Archer?
I am feeling stressed, excited, and nervous.
A very familiar combination. Oh, taking a big breath for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see, Jody.
Okay, the first thing that popped in was emotional. So I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, okay.
That.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes we don't know, and sometimes we get clear, and sometimes not. So we'll just, you know, you just put it out there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Sarah? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Today, the first word that popped in my head was prepared, but then I thought about it, and I think I need more centered. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, great. Love it. Centered. Wonderful. Thank you. And I think Harjeet was the next one to come on.
Interest, a bit of excitement, anticipation.
Awesome. The first one was interest?
Excitement.
Oh, excitement.
Yeah, anticipation.
Okay, great. Love it. Thank you. Yeah. And then Debbie.
Okay. I would say hopeful.
Hopeful.
Recovering from some, you know, sickness. But feeling hopeful, even though things are a little slow.
Okay. I love it. Thank you. Did I miss anybody?
Just yourself.
Just myself. Thank you. Let me just take a second. Just feeling incredibly grateful. Yeah, just a lot of gratitude. A lot of gratitude. Okay. Wonderful. Well, let's see. Let me take a peek at my notes real quick here, just so we can stay on track. You know, what I would love to do, has everybody had an opportunity to take a look at the case study that was posted on Facebook?
No.
The form that you submitted?
So it's in that same post on the forum when I posted the worksheet. I also posted the details of the case study that we were going to look at first, which was essentially the details of one of Trinity's clients. And
okay.
So it was January 16th. And it says in all caps at the top, case study. And it's not really that important, actually. So we'll just see where this takes us. And it's a good opportunity, I think, to maybe answer any technical questions, if there are any, about the Facebook forum. I wanted to offer one little tip for maneuvering the Facebook forum, the private group, which is, you don't have to be on it now, but when you are on it, you'll see the three images at the top, right, which is like our header. Right below that, on the right-hand corner, just underneath, there's a little dialogue box with a, you know, it's a search bar. It says, search this group. And if you're ever looking for a post, you can search, like do a keyword search. So like I'm in it now, and if I just type in case study and I hit enter, then it's going to come up with any post that has the word case study in it, and it actually highlights it. So it's very, very handy. Sometimes, you know, Facebook does strange things, or we have a hard time tracking, you know, things day to day. So I wanted to just put that out there, make sure that you knew that, so you can specifically search for anything that's been posted. That's really, really handy. Are there any other technical, let's keep it maybe just to Facebook for the moment.
Just a quick thing. This is Archer. I just did that case study and that search, and I see the form that you offered, and I don't see an actual case study of a person.
Okay.
I see it.
Same here. You do?
Okay,
I
so
do, yeah.
If you, it looks like it's the second post there.
Okay.
From January 16th, and you'll see case study. Here's okay. The link to the worksheet. See where it says see more?
Yeah, I did that, and it just takes me to an empty form, case study and exercise.
Oh, okay, so there's, you clicked on the link?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of clicking on see more.
Okay, I'll try that. And again, see, it just comes back to that blank form.
Okay, right. That's
it did continue reading.
I don't see anybody's, I don't see the form filled out.
No, the form won't be filled out. Hold on one sec. Let me redo my search. Why don't you refresh your page, Archer?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you do the search again, it's not entirely like discernible, but if you look at that post again, you'll see that it says case study, and then there's a link right there.
Yeah, I got to
okay.
See that.
Directly below that, it says see more.
Hit that. Ah, thank you.
Ah, yeah. Okay,
thank
good.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Alrighty.
Great. Okay, good. Are there any other thoughts or questions about Facebook? Just Facebook for the moment? No? Okay, great. So what I would like to do, just to like titillate you a little bit in regards to the case study, is I'm going to go over it, and let's just see what your initial thoughts are, and let's just start the process. Here is my hope, because we have not done it like this in the past. My hope is that there will be direct responses on the Facebook forum to the case study, so that as you have thoughts, as you have questions, you can just comment directly on the post. And then that you will either use the worksheet. There's not a lot to the worksheet, so you could just look at it and copy it down in your notebook or your journal and be working on it on your own. And then during these calls, we will usually spend some time talking about the case study. And then if it's, you know, I'm not sure how much time during the live workshops we will spend. Probably it will come up for sure. But to be prepared and to be thinking about it. And then what I will do is to bring us full circle for every case study is I will post like the worksheet filled out, like what we've all come up with and what we feel like is, you know, our kind of our best ideas for working with this client. So it really feels like it's come full circle and it's not ever left just dangling. And then if you are on the online program, I will post that on your online platform, which I have links for you all today, actually. So does that feel clear? I'm just, you don't have to say, I'm imagining that you're all nodding. If it's not clear, you could just say it's not clear. Otherwise, I'm going to move on. Okay, so let's just read this and then let's just see what you all think, right? What you think about it. So the client is a 41-year-old woman. She's had 12 abdominal surgeries. Now this, if you've been in the mentoring group, Sarah, you may remember that we talked about this woman a little bit last year. Trinity did. So Trinity is one of our alumni teachers in the program, and she just recently was certified. She's brought this woman kind of to our attention before. So she's been working with her for about 6 months. She comes in, practices once a day. She's had a lot of... once a week. Thank you. Once a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Lucky woman.
Yeah, I know. She practices in the studio once a week. She's had a lot of fear and hesitation around the abdominal stuff, and but has been finding strength and more confidence. Trinity's been encouraging her to, you know, address the scar tissue with just self-massage with some oil, and that's actually been really helpful. So that's one big piece. The other piece is that she broke her calcaneus in early November. She did not have surgery, but she's been in a boot, and she's been on crutches for the past 2 months. She recently returned to Pilates in her once-a-week practice, and she's riding her bike and walking. So she's, you know, she's getting back to some regular movement. But here's the current challenge, is that her left leg, so it was her left heel, is quite atrophied, and she's having some pain in the top of her foot when she plantar flexes. Okay, tightness in the heel and arch when she dorsiflexes, that's not surprising. Pain in her hip on that left side. If you've ever had ankle or foot pain, that's not surprising to you either, that there's associated hip pain. Now, as a compensation, right, so the hip stuff is compensation likely, and then there's shoulder stuff going on. She's always had some trouble with upper traps, and Trinity's insight was that she feels like being on the crutches has actually created some awareness in her shoulder girdle, which is very interesting, and also not entirely surprising to me. So that could be a really good opening, right, for some insight and learning. Okay, so first of all, I would like to hear from you. What do you think? What's our primary objective right now with this student?
Can I ask what the surgeries were from? How recently the last one was?
Yeah, it's been, I don't know exactly the answer to either of those questions, Jody. I do know that the most recent one, it has not been for several years. So she's a far ways out. I'm digging back in my memory, and I really want to say that it may have been like gastrointestinal issues. But I'm not 100% sure, but that's my recollection.
She able to do extension?
Yes, and that's okay. And it's improving, right? So in the beginning, extension was incredibly uncomfortable, right? But that is actually that's definitely been improving just because of practice, right? She's getting some more movement around the scar tissue, and then also because of the self massage that she's been doing.
So I'm a little unclear on what we're supposed to, I guess, what's the key point here?
Is it, yeah. The first question is, if this student was your student, what would be your primary aim? What would be the thing that you feel like would be, you would want to focus on in terms of progressing her, moving her forward? What do you want to look at as the primary objective?
I wanted to ask this, Bibi, what is her goal herself? Why did she come in? What is her words?
Well, I'm just going to make something up, okay? Because I don't really know, but I'm going to say that it is that regaining her ability to participate in her life fully, right? And from a place of strength, because the abdominal surgeries have really, really laid her low, right? And really made it almost like every physical activity incredibly challenging. And so she's really wanting an overall level of fitness, but also to break through some of the, you know, kind of emotional fear around the abdominal stuff.
This is Archer.
Yeah.
You know, my approach with her would probably be to start her out lying on either a prana roll or a foam roll,
mm-hmm.
and to help get some of the if she comes in with pain in that ankle specifically, I would work on taking the load off that pain and finding some place of comfort in the rest of her body. Mm-hmm. So I would do some imprinting on the roll. You know, for that session, for the first session, the first time I would see her would be just to get her doing the nasal to spine breathing, to take her to some places in her body that were working for her.
Mm-hmm. Great. So anchor her into the pleasant experiences of strength and movement.
There, yeah. To give her a little relief, a little comfort, a little confidence somewhere that she could anchor and then move from that place of comfort. You know, you could do some knee folds on the roll to help her feel how her abdominals have to work in a safe way,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my approach.
Okay.
I was thinking about stretching the abs while they're working. I was thinking about some of that contract release stretching for her abs. And I was thinking about arcing over the roller and then coming back up and using your breath to guide you, you know, a little arch and release over the roller.
Yeah, so with the roller perpendicular to the spine, right, like at the tip of the scapula,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, with the tail down and supported, so that's what you're talking about, Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Which I really, I think that's a great suggestion because it does a lot of what Archer is talking about too, in terms of taking some weight off of the foot, in terms of, you know, a beginning of a session, right? So introducing, which is kind of getting her moving in a way that's not going to come up against fear or pain. Okay, good.
I could do that here, sorry, go ahead.
I actually had an opportunity to do a little research this morning in preparation, and I looked at a fractured calcaneus,
mm-hmm.
and looked at some of the rehabilitative efforts that would help someone with that. And my idea would be, since Trinity has already previously been working with her on some of the core strengthening and also even some shoulder work, I think I would focus on what's going on with the hip and then also, of course, the heel. I think the hip is probably indicative of wearing that boot and having crutches, too. So I think that's probably a kind of a repercussion of the injury.
Sure.
But I would, similar to what Archer said, I would take the weight off of the foot standing, and I would work on some proprioceptive stretching with her laying down on a mat. I would use the TheraBand, and I would have her bring that leg straight up to 90 degrees with the TheraBand across the arch and just have her work on feeling that stretch, finding where she has no pain, but where she can kind of challenge that stretch a little bit, for, you know, even feeling a little bit of mild pain, but slowly starting to work those muscles. One of the things that I discovered in doing my research about a fractured calcaneus is my research led me to discover that along with plantar fasciitis, some of the things that happens is the fascia even atrophies, and in very severe cases, they have to come in and they have to cut the fascia tissue to release the pressure in the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, kind of learning things I didn't know I would need to learn. It was very helpful to me. In any case, I think that I would work towards having that leg at a 90-degree position, have them try to flex the toes to her nose, and try to reach with the heel and see what kind of reaction she got to her, you know, foot, what kind of feedback her foot was giving her. And then I would have her roll that ankle towards the midline of the body and then roll it towards the outer side of the body,
mm-hmm.
As well as pointing and flexing and just checking some of that movement, challenging it slowly, keeping her safe, you know. So that was just one of the ideas. And then along with that TheraBand, there's some wonderful hip releases that can be done in that same position just by holding that leg in that position with a taut TheraBand and then just breathing through, releasing the hip flexors, which are probably quite tight, just having that boot on her foot.
Yes.
And then laterally releasing it by levering that leg out to the side and then once again releasing that femur in the hip socket, finding some lubrication in that joint without muscle movement and tension, because probably there's some kind of tension going on in that hip.
So yeah.
Those were just some of my thoughts.
Great, Debbie. Thank you. I wanted to just, let me piggyback on that for a moment. Three things. Let's see if I can track them. Something else that you could do here with the legs supported by the TheraBand is some supported leg circles. Even with a long lever or short lever, so straight or bent leg, and just, you know, some gliding circles in the hip socket to restore some healthy range of motion without compensation, right? So we're taking the, you know, the weight of the leg out of it as much as possible. You're getting as close to the challenged joint as possible. We're creating as much stability by being, you know, supine on the floor through the pelvis. So yes, leg stirs, knee circles. I also wanted to say that even sitting upright and having the TheraBand on the foot, doing some, plantar flexing, dorsiflexing, inversion, eversion. One of my favorite things, which would be so great for her, is ankle circles from the heel, right? So often when we do ankle circles, we're directing from the long bones of the foot, from the metatarsals. And when we direct from the heel, as if we're drawing a circle from the center of the heel or scraping the inside of a cup with the heel, we get movement so much more proximally in the joint, which is going to really be looking at like the talar and subtalar joints of the ankle, which would be excellent for, you know, some of the things that are going to be compensations and repercussions from the injury. And then also fascially, you know, it's not like we would want to just put her on a spiky football or something and get her standing up fully loading the foot. But we could do with her sitting, you know, having her roll the foot out over a soft ball or even a rolled up washcloth or, you know, something very soft. A racquetball is hollow and very soft. That's nice. And even, you know, like for me, depending on, you know, what her comfort level was, doing some plantar fasciitis exercises, like where the washcloth is under the foot and you you crinkle the washcloth up under the arch of the foot, and then you push it out from under the arch of the foot could be really wonderfully therapeutic exercises for addressing the ankle directly. Okay, I mean, I feel like that's a really great start. Does anybody else want to jump in and share some ideas?
Well, this is Bibi. I was thinking also using the Cadillac where you can really suspend when she's lying supine and her leg is in tabletop. You could really support with straps and springs her thigh and her ankle so that she doesn't have to do anything with your leg except you can help her move the femur in the hip socket so that you can help her with the range of motion there.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, great. Any other immediate thoughts? Anything that you feel like you might do or you feel like would be beneficial?
Probably also the thoracic spine, just trying to find some opening in there, some rotation, something to, you know, just open things up a little bit while she's probably fairly tense, having to walk on crutches and everything.
Yeah. Instinctively, one of the first things I think of, based on the abdominal surgery and the upper girdle tension and then additional tension or maybe just awareness from the crutches is, you know, posterior lateral breathing, right? Side rib and back rib breathing. And I like Sarah's suggestion of the arch and curl over the roller. You can do that, you know, gentle extension with a focus on the breath. The chair is great for that. That takes the load off of the foot and ankle, but you can, you know, you can direct attention to connecting to, hip extensors, glutes and hamstrings. That brings a nice balance into opening the front of the hip, strengthening and re-strengthening the back of the hip. You know, one of the things in terms of gait that's affected anytime there's a foot or ankle injury is that most of us start off with a little bit of a dim recruitment, I'll say, of like adductors, hamstrings, and glutes, medial glutes sometimes in particular. So, and then when we're not able to fully, you know, plantar and dorsiflex the ankle because of an injury, we lose even more that gluteal hamstring adductor connection. So anything that would encourage that, I think, even doing the hamstring curls on the reformer, so lying prone facing the foot bar with the shorts the straps very short over the, you know, over the calf or high up on the ankle, would be great. Again, hip opening, extension, focusing on the breath. So those are some of the things that I might play with. Any questions about that? No? Good?
No, I don't have a question about that, but I was curious to find out if this lady was overweight. You know, I was kind of interested to find out, you know, what her weight was in comparison to her frame.
Yeah, I don't think so. That has not been my impression. So because this is really a hypothetical, even though we're using Trinity's client, we'll just keep it a hypothetical. And so all the questions that we've answered or that I've answered will just stick with that. So I'm going to say no, she's not, there's no weight issue. Okay, well, thank you for that. And, you know, all of your input is really important. It's really, really important. I would say this is one of the places where we can be of greatest benefit to one another, where I can really take on the role of facilitator and, you know, helping you clarify. But it's your input that's going to be so insightful to everybody else. So I just want to encourage you to put out any questions or thoughts about this case study that you have. Link it directly to the comment section on this post, or you are welcome to start a new post. And like I said, I'll collect it all and I will put it into a final document. But really, really just don't hesitate to put yourself out there, because I think this is just, it's a really rich learning opportunity for everybody. And I appreciate your input so far. That was what I feel like, that was a good start. And I would like to, Bibi, when you are able to, and maybe we'll just use this as our next case study, if you want to take a video you mentioned of your client, so we can examine the gait was the something that was of interest to you. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. And I've been sick for the last week, and I hope to see her this Friday, but depends a little bit on my on my condition.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely planning to do that. I film her walking mostly, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just whenever you get around to it, it'll be great to have that. We'll just use that as the next case study. Very good. Okay. Let me just check in with my notes here. I want to open it up for the next just few minutes to see if there are any general questions or any, is there anything going on for you with your teaching now, or, you know, could be teaching, could be business, anything, personal practice, anything that's kind of rising to the surface for anyone that you'd like to, you know, you have some question about or wanted to share? I want to just open it up to you.
I had something really, this is Jody. I had something amazing, not amazing in a good way, but happened today. I have a client that is possibly separating from her husband, and she has a very, very tight mid to low back, and I've been really trying to open it up, and today I did Tower with her, and I've always heard that Tower can open up your emotional side as well, and boy, did it. It was the first time I've been teaching since 2004, and after we got done with it, I said, you know, sometimes Tower can make you a little emotional, and she just started bawling, and she said that when she was doing it, she felt herself getting, you know, kind of teary, and, you know, she thanked me for giving her permission to be emotional, and it was, it made me really proud of what I do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We had a good cry, but it was really the first time that that has really ever happened that way. So our work can be pretty powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so awesome, Jody. And it's so true. Doing Tower, you know, if anybody is not clear about what we're talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, but bottom loaded, right? Push through bar.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feet on the bar, pushing up into essentially a shoulder stand.
Exactly.
And then coming down from that, I mean, it's just, there's no way around it. It gets in there. And, I think it's so interesting. I don't know how many of you have had the experience personally of having some, you know, kind of emotional connection, you know, or breakthrough even, or experience during a movement session. I know I definitely have, and I've just watched people unfold in that way time and time again. And it really, so much of it is about holding the space, you know, and being very mindful about holding the space safely, without, you know, it's a boundary issue often, but we do have a wonderful opportunity to hold the space safely for people to have that full experience. And that's so great, Jody. I'm really thrilled that you were able to have that and that she was able to have that.
Yeah. I mean, I thanked her for allowing me to be part of her journey today, just because, you know, they come to us, people come to us for a moving experience, but sometimes you forget. Yeah. And, you know, it definitely reminded me how powerful the work can be.
Yeah, yeah, so. For sure. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Bibi, I think, were you going to say something?
Well, I just have one of these little technical questions. so preparing for the PMA exam.
And yes.
So then there's these questions about Pilates and movement principles and fundamentals. These are just words, you know. What really is the difference between Pilates and the movement principles? I understand the movement principles are the fundamentals, right?
Yes. It's so funny because Sarah and I were having this exact conversation earlier in... Wait, is it last week now? On Friday. I would have to be looking at the study guide in order to be 100% clear. But the way I understand it, and I've passed the PMA test, so hopefully this is, you know, on par, is that we look at the Pilates principles as being the principles of breath, control, flowing motion, balance, you know, all of those things. So the core kind of, what I almost think of as the philosophical principles, right? Obviously they move into the movement realm, but they're more of like, what's at the heart of the Pilates philosophy as a method, right? Are the Pilates principles. And then the fundamentals or the movement principles are those things like, scapular stability, mobility, lumbopelvic stability, mobility, spinal mobility, stability, deep core engagement, abdominal strength, breath, right? So the fundamental, the actual component pieces of the movement practice, right? What are the fundamental pieces we're always trying to drive our students to have competency in? Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to get it clear because I've had one of the questions and I just answered completely the wrong thing because I didn't understand the word.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
I would say PMA. Just read the words because their questions can be a little tricky.
Yes.
I felt.
Yeah. I agree with you, Jody. And we're going to put together a PMA study group and maybe. I don't know what will come out of it, but there's several people in the program who are preparing for, hello, little baby, preparing for the PMA certification test. So this will be coming up again. My daughter just walked into the room. Hello, Amy. Yeah, great. I wanted to just, I want to give anybody else an opportunity to comment or share or ask a question if there's anything else.
I just have one more final word for our case study, Shannon Jones.
Yeah.
And that is that as she progresses, I mean, right now she's walking and bicycling, so she's pretty upright, which means she's fairly mobile.
Yeah.
That as she moves forward, there's some other tools that could be used to help with her besides resistance bands. And, we could work on Bosu balls, discs, or wobble boards at some point, you know, that would also help to work with her ankles and regaining the strength.
Yeah.
I mentioned that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Unstable surfaces, right? As long as there's not too much potential for falling, falling off or jarring or jamming the injured area. But yeah, I think there's unstable surface work is always really, really beneficial. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you for that. Okay. Great. Well, two things to close. One is I just invite you to participate as fully as you can day by day in the Facebook forum. And if you're in the online program on the online platform and to, you know, put yourself out there and to ask your questions and to share your beautiful, wonderful you know, successes. And it's the more we can participate, the richer the experience is for everybody. And if you ever feel like you want to share, or you have questions or insights that you want to share privately and not publicly, of course, you can do that with me via email. And so there are those two avenues for you. It does not always have to be public. There are moments when it just does not feel appropriate to share with the group. And I want to honor that for everybody. And the second thing is, I'm really excited about our upcoming workshop. And for those of you who are going to be live and in person, the location is still to be determined. Unfortunately, I'm having a little bit of just a challenge firming that up. But never fear, that will come together. But we will have a special guest, and I will be recording the entire workshop for those of you who are on the online program. So that will be delivered to you, and then you'll be able to do Q&A with me. But our special guest is a past client, a friend of mine who is an incredibly successful entrepreneur who coaches and mentors multi-million-dollar businesses, and is just the most generous, very interesting man. And he's going to be doing an enterprise design clinic for us, which, what the heck does that mean? It is basically an opportunity for you to bring your business vision, operations, financial goal questions, any question around your work as an enterprise, which means if you have a studio or if you are just beginning to contemplate what it would mean to be an independent contractor or sole proprietor, this is the man to ask those questions of. And he is so succinct and so clear, has so much to offer. I'm super excited that he's going to be presenting to us. And so I just wanted to let you know about that. I will be sending out a handout at the beginning of February that he's going to create for everybody to get your juices flowing. And since it's a clinic style, those of you who will be there in person will be able to ask your questions, and that's the topics will revolve around your questions. So it's going to be a really exciting first half of the workshop, and then of course the second half will be a technique focus. And I haven't chosen one yet. We'll review this case study, but if there's any technique or skill that you are interested in exploring, please let me know, and I will take it into consideration for the second half of our workshop material. Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to hold you hostage time-wise. I usually like to try to keep these calls to an hour, and Archer and I we have a date to speak at 2:00, so I want to honor that. If there are any follow-up questions or thoughts, you can reach out to me via email, or you can post them on the forum if that's appropriate. And let's just all take a couple big breaths together. So inhaling through your nose, soaking in lots of gratitude and appreciation for yourself and for the others who are holding the space for this group and for this journey. And taking another big breath in. Thank you for showing up today in the best way that you could, and for bringing your self to the process. I really am feeling even more grateful than I was in the beginning, and that's saying an awful lot. And one more big breath. Thank you, everybody. If you want to come off of mute, it's always nice to kind of say goodbye to one another. And we'll be touching bases very soon. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye. Feel bye. Better, BB.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Jody. Bye-bye. Bye. Hey, Archer, are you still there?